The Something Wild podcast is made possible, of course, by you, our marvelous subscribers and listeners, and by the Courier Museum of Art. Explore the art, science, and adventure of the Northeast's tallest peak in Mount Washington, the crown of New England, through January 16, exclusively at the Courier Museum of Art. More info at courier.org.
This is Something Wild. I'm Chris Martin from New Hampshire Audubon. The Old Farmer's Almanac is predicting another frigid winter for New England. While it's hard to know in advance what the coming winter has in store for us, here in New Hampshire, we've got someone who keeps a close eye on every snowstorm headed our way. Tony Vizzano is a meteorologist and the owner of North Winds Weather. He's an expert on mountain weather and snow, and advises ski areas across northern New England with customized forecasts that guide their snowmaking operations throughout the skiing season. He's also an avid birder and a friend. He joins us from his studio in Center Sandwich. Hi, Tony. Thanks for joining us.
It's good to be here, Chris. Thank you.
Great. So what's the most challenging part of forecasting snow and winter weather in New England?
I suppose the most challenging part is to be accurate in so many different localities. In other words, most of us, whether you're a TV meteorologist or doing what I do with ski areas across northern New England, you have to come up with these snow amounts for a whole different area every time, as opposed to just working on one little area. So to be accurate in 20 different places for every storm, that's difficult.
So you have responsibilities for giving 20 different locations in northern New England forecasts for their spot.
Basically, with ski areas, I work for about 18 of them, and then I do a couple of other types of forecasts for folks. So the ski areas are the ones that are indeed, you know, specific locations.
So actually, I want to start with a really basic question. You'll be surprised by this one. Help us understand exactly how snow forms.
Snow forms way up high in the atmosphere. In fact, much of the rain we see begins as snow in the clouds. And there's nuclei up there, the upward motion, the moisture has to be just right. And there's obviously other factors involved. And then once the moisture builds around the nuclei, it becomes heavy enough to move downward.
Yeah, I think we talked in a previous Something Wild about the fact that snow actually even forms in the middle of summer in thunderstorms. Is that correct?
Exactly.
So I know that there's all kinds of snow, and I remember the story of the Native Americans in the Arctic having many, many different names for different types of snow. But tell us more about the water content of snow and how much snow can we get from an inch of rain?
Well, it's quite variable depending on the atmospheric conditions at the time. So I'll say in general, anywhere from 7 to 25 inches.
From one inch of snow.
From one inch of water. So if you were to melt the snow down and get the 1 inch of water. And it doesn't always necessarily relate to the temperature on the ground. It often relates to the temperature in the layers of air above the ground during the first several thousand feet as you go up. So that makes it quite complex to know just how much snow is going to fall from an inch of water.
So you're saying it's somewhat tough to predict whether an approaching storm is going to drop wet, heavy snow or light, fluffy snow?
That's a little more simplified. Let me give an example of last winter when we had a situation here where it snowed one day. The high temperature was in the single digits. One would expect a more fluffy snow. Because when the snow came, it apparently formed in low levels of the atmosphere, much like drizzle with those small rain droplets as opposed to big rain droplets. Well, these little tiny snowflakes packed together very tightly, especially with some wind as they fell. So instead of a 10 to 1 ratio or really a 20 or 30 to 1 ratio you might expect at that temperature, it was less than the 10 to 1. I think 3/10 of an inch of moisture only gave us 2 inches of snow instead of 6 or 7 or 8.
So it is. There's a lot of uncertainty in it.
Exactly.
So I want to talk about geography for a second. I've heard the term snow shadow used in a lot of different contexts when talking about mountain snowstorms. Do we see any kind of snow shadow effect in our state based on elevation and terrain?
Almost every time it snows.
Yeah?
It doesn't take too much elevation to affect the amount of precipitation. It's also known as a rain shadow in the summer, but in the winter and in the winter storm, we call it a snow shadow. And where I live in Sandwich, for example, big storms are unusual because of the Sandwich Range and the White Mountains. You know, these mountains go up to about 4,000 feet. And when the wind is northeast and north during a storm, it's coming from that direction into where we live. And so during a big northeaster, while some, maybe the western highlands of the state could see 25 inches, we might have 12 inches. And in fact, I think in over 30 years here in Sandwich, I've only seen more than 20 inches once in my section of town.
Okay, I can verify that because I live over in the Kearsarge area, and about every other year we get a 30-inch snowstorm.
And even in eastern parts of Sandwich, where that influence of the White Mountains is not as direct, 20-inch storms are not that unusual there. So it doesn't take much distance for things to change dramatically.
So what's going on? The wind flow is lifting the moisture up and it's falling out before it gets to you? Is that the...
Well, that's part of it. Rising motion does, as we just spoke, create precipitation. So as the wind's coming up one side of the mountain, it is wringing out some of the moisture. By the same token, a downward motion in the atmosphere is physically a drying motion. And so that's very evident in certain storm situations in certain places. One of the most interesting to me is the Ossipee Mountains nearby here because it's a perfect circle. And now with the internet and all these reports, we get so many reports that you can actually see how this shadow works around the mountains depending on what type of storm is coming through. And it's quite fascinating. One side of the range could have an inch of rainfall while another side could have 3.5 inches. Just 8 miles away.
I think it's really fascinating that that you work closely with the ski areas in the state, which everyone knows they're an important part of our winter economy. And you said you worked with about 18 or so in at least New England. What sort of information do you provide for them, and how far in advance can you tell them what's coming?
Well, I provide them with pretty much as much weather information as you can imagine they're going to need. It's a weather forecast, but there's a lot of detail in it. One example might be for that when I give them the forecast in the morning, for the next 30 hours, for every 3 hours, I'm giving them the temperature, the wind, the humidity on top of the mountain, the middle of the mountain, the bottom of the mountain. So they can look at that and know where and when to make snow, and also it affects their grooming operations heavily.
And these are, for them, these are economic decisions, aren't they?
Absolutely. In fact, I don't know if it works this way in New Hampshire, but in Vermont, where many of my clients are, the rate they pay of electricity changes during the day, depending on different times of day and different times of week. And so they actually try to match up sometimes when they can make the most snow at the coldest temperatures at the cheapest power rate.
It almost sounds like the stock market to me. Well, that's fascinating. I didn't realize how detailed and complicated, but it's up to them to make the decisions about it. You're providing them with the data, and they're the ones calling the shots on it, right?
That's correct, because as you mentioned earlier, it's an economic decision. And if they really need snow badly, they might do it at 30 degrees if the humidity is only 60%. But under most conditions, to save money, they prefer to wait for the temperature to be 27 and the humidity to be a little less.
So you've been forecasting New England mountain weather for, what, 40 years?
Yep.
Wow. What in all that time, 4 decades, what changes have you seen in technology, the tools of your trade? And for that matter, what changes have you seen in the weather itself?
Well, obviously, the change in the technology has been tremendous, especially in the past 20 or so years. Back when I started, we used to work off of the old teletype system. We had a thermal facsimile machine, which is kind of a large, almost a 3-foot thing, where you'd use rolls of moist paper going through the machine to print weather charts. Every morning I used to come in and cut up about 20 feet worth and then look at the teletype reports. And there was never, ever enough information. Now, There's literally too much information to look at. I could look at information all day to make the forecast better and never have time to issue a forecast. I have to draw the line.
Oh, gee. So, and what about the weather itself? I mean, 40 years is a good deal of time to draw on. What have you seen anything that jumps out to you as changes that we've got now versus 40 years ago?
Well, certainly in that kind of time, you're going to get some climate flux no matter what. But we have seen, I think, you know, probably some more dramatic changes of late in the past few decades. You know, when I first moved to Sandwich about 35 years ago, the incidence of 2-inch rainstorms, it was very rare to get 2 inches of rain within a 48-hour period. You know, it might happen a couple of times in a year, but you also went sometimes with a couple of years without it happening. So it was a pretty rare event. So the incidence of these 2-inch rain events has increased, I don't know exactly. It was difficult to look over the old data and always determine, you know, a 48-hour period for some of these rain events based on the data that I was using from my neighbor. But it appears to have increased maybe 4 or 5-fold, which is just a tremendous difference. And that's why in the past decade you've heard about these so-called 100-year floods happening every 5 and 10 years all of a sudden.
Tony, I've enjoyed talking to you so much today. I want to thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Chris.
Tony Vizzano is a meteorologist and the owner of North Winds Weather. I'm Chris Martin. Something Wild is a joint production of New Hampshire Audubon, the Society for the Protection of New Hampshire Forests, and NHPR.